Hey everybody, Stu Smith here and Jeff Nichols with another Tactical Fitness Report. And today we're going to talk about a fairly new development in Navy Special Warfare. And that is a test that they are now doing somewhere within your first month of BUDS. They will test you on your testosterone levels using a ratio with testosterone and epitestosterone called the TE ratio. So we're going to break that down a little bit, define a little bit what that is, just because you're going to have to get this test done, right? And we want to break that down and maybe even discuss some of the, you know, some of the good and bad about that test and, you know, inaccuracies and, you know, what they're trying to do in the big picture as well. So Jeff, you've actually dealt with the World Anti-Doping Association with some of your athletes that you train, and they use a 4-to-1 ratio as well, same as what BUDS is using. So explain what that is real quick.
Yeah. I mean, I get just kind of the real, without getting the super weeds of it, right? Like when you take, we take a hormone, like an anabolic steroid, testosterone, whatever it is, that's obviously going to change that saturation, the free and bound testosterone in your blood, this, that, and the other. But then when you come off of it, there's a hormonal response to that. Like you might be in a trough. There's a multitude of things that will happen. But the big point is this context. Context is huge in this. And I think that's why probably you and I are having this discussion, because we see the context of it and trying to make sense of it. So really what it is a test to see if in fact that maybe you've used hormones or prohormones in the past, because they will stay behind. Because if you look at how it's being tested, they're using electron spectroscopy, mass spectroscopy, but that's
from your analysis.
That goes back for decades potentially, right? So my concern is outside the ratio is like me. I'm as someone that has had issues with addiction issues with pills, right? I'm going to have a real hard time keeping my nervous system in a healthy place, even years down the road, because of that traumatic events I put to my body. And so the same thing can be said about BUDS and all the preparatory too. It's like, my point is this, is they're pulling blood in an environment that is, it's being compared to a population that is not that environment, right? There's no baseline being set and this, that, and the other, but I'm kind of going off a little bit. Like, I guess, my point is the test is basically trying to determine whether or not you've used anabolic steroids or currently using them. And they can do that based on, you know, like I said, these very, very extremely sophisticated tests, because on the Olympic side, whatever it may be, like we want fair and equal. And it makes total sense there in that context. But here, I guess we're just trying to discover what that context is and in some of these readings being high or low. But there are a lot of reasons to include use or abuse of anabolics, why these numbers would be that way, right? You're looking at free and bound testosterone, cortisone, like you're looking at what's going on in your liver and kidneys and all these sort of panels. And you're like, it begs the question, okay, great. We did the test, but why did we do the test while we're in the stress? Like, why wasn't that test initiated at the point of contract? Cause that's how WADA works. As soon as that contract is signed through WADA as a professional athlete, WADA swoops in. Literally, they show up at my gym when I'm training somebody for a UFC fight. They test all the supplements he's taking. They pull the blood. I have to sign non-disclosures and all these sort of things to say, yep, this is safe and effective. But that never, ever, ever, ever happened to any of these athletes in the Navy. So they're getting blood pulled in the most traumatic environment that they've ever experienced. Of course, you could assume, right? But again, you see, but the problem is like, they're not taken individually based, because the argument would be like, well, some guys didn't do it. Some guys didn't have this low reading or this high reading or these metabolites in your blood. Well, take into the context, what's going on? What, like, why wouldn't this person, what's their history? But all that stuff should have been resolved the moment they signed their name at METS, because that's the only true baseline they can get.
True.
And it actually offers you a real insight of what they're trying to do. Of course, they don't want guys using anabolic steroids there, and it creates danger that's unnecessary. So why don't we test them before they go into boot camp, when it's more likely that these readings are going to be actually viable within the context that they're trying to test? And that's my problem is that's a real frustration, especially for someone who has, I have a real knowledge base on this. And as a user, as an abuser, and now as someone that uses it from with medical guidance, with real context. And so it kind of breaks my heart a little bit. At face value, but I kind of like to hear, I'll stop talking here. What you have to
no,
say
no, sure. Let's do this. Let's break it down and say why they started doing this. Well, the reason why they started doing this is they've actually caught some people using testosterone, right? Or other performance enhancing drugs. Some have even used Viagra. Evidently that helps with.
Yep. Really good recovery. Yeah. It's nitric oxide release. A lot of, yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of things that are useful.
But the rule is at Buds, no supplements and definitely no performance enhancing drugs.
You bet.
Right. Yeah. And so this is kind of a, hopefully this will deter people from doing any of this. However, the test gets people who have not done any of this sometimes caught up in that 4-to-1 ratio. Testosterone to epitestosterone limit that is set by Buds now, but it also has some validity because the World Anti-Doping Agency does it. The International Olympic Committee uses that 4-to-1 ratio.
UFC.
I think the NCAA.
Any international competition. Any international competition uses WADA, right? But essentially, NCAA. A division one, division two, division three, and various other components of Major League Baseball, NFL, they use very similar protocols, but it's all in-house. They don't, the NFL isn't bringing WADA in. The NFL is basically duplicated in their own sort of, we can protect it. Because the reality is, guys, it's like Jose Canseco all over again, man. He said 85% of Major League Baseball is using it.
That's a good point. Fernando
Tatis isn't the only one, right? Like I live in that world. I work in that world. Right. There's a reason why the NFL only tests this one day a year. It's called the stupid test. Right. Why is it called the stupid test? Because the Players Association is the ones that decide the single day which the NFL allows them to test. That's it. So for it, getting its context. Right. So we're looking at this and going, OK, yep, we do. We want our Buds athletes, we want our SF athletes or athletes safe. You bet. I am in complete agreement with keeping that baseline of health. Totally. Like I've been an avid user of anabolic steroids since I was 22. And this is true. I didn't use it during Buds because I was afraid of that. Like,
yeah, well, I mean, there are some dangers, you know, to having high testosterone levels when going through these type of training programs.
You bet. You
know, because there are some issues that, you know, the heart doesn't pump as efficiently.
Hypertension is real risk, especially in a high risk environment. Like there's a real risk with that much stress, adding an anabolic steroid to a heart attack.
Yeah.
Even with young athletes, it's a real risk.
You add in the susceptibility to getting SIPE, you know, swimmer induced pulmonary edema, and your heart isn't working effectively enough to pump that fluid out.
Yeah. So now you're going to increase the viscosity of your blood. The red blood cells and white blood cells will increase. The viscosity is there, gums up, gets thicker. And so that is why it really, really is dangerous in SIPE, because with SIPE, you don't want viscosity. You want hydration that can flush that out. So yes, as someone that's an avid user and a believer of it in context, I do not believe that Buds athletes should be using it. It's too risky. It's after the fact, great. Because if they tested the teams, we wouldn't have SEAL teams. If they were doing this in the teams, there wouldn't be enough SEALs to deploy. Like, can I say that? You bet your ass I can confidently say that. Like,
well, it's a different issue there. You know, they're actually
totally,
you know, they're actually using it with medical guidance. It's part of, you know, human performance program that actually, you know, wants whenever guys that are, you know, high op tempo, crazy amount of stress, any way that they can help themselves with some recovery from that type of just pure stress, they're going to find out the best possible solution to do that. Now, yes, is everybody sir. Doing it? No. You know, but, you know, it is it available? Absolutely. I mean, Absolutely. Because they're 28-year-old men that have testosterone levels of a 60-year-old.
I did. You know, 26. And so it's a combination of stress and abuse, right? Yeah. Or stress and really not following any medical guidance, bro sciencing it and creating a lot of issues. So, and so here's the thing is like, I'm passionate about it and guys are going to use it. Like, so for why did I use anabolic steroids on a team? This was my reason. My reason was I saw myself as a high performer. The stress was there. Okay. I don't want to remove the high performance. You can't remove the stress of the job, nor would you. But what actually was happening was for me, all of my life choices were creating more stress, more stress, more stress. So I was trying to offset my work ability with my life stress and it didn't work, right? That was my way. It's like I abused it and now I look back at it and I'm paying for it. And that's like, I have to go through the medical care because of my abuse. And so I'm a proponent of understanding and educating it because here's why. Why is there testosterone on planet Earth currently? Because of the military. The German military started producing it for its soldiers, right? World War II, right? And then from there, the US adopted it and athletes adopted it. So the reason for the substance is exactly for why these guys are getting kicked out. This was for human performance in a wartime situation for war fighters. So now that's not an excuse, like a carte blanche excuse that people should use it. What it is an opportunity for the medical world to go, wow, we recognize these high stressors. We recognize, because we'll dump sleeping pills and pain pills down these guys' throats all day. But as soon as we go, hey, I don't feel like the medical world is really doing anything other than throwing Motrin and pain pills at me. I need to heal because I got to go do my job. And so for me, it was like, well, I'm going to start injecting anabolics because I know that's going to give me the viral health that I felt like I needed. So, and the other thing too is people like me have been a poor example over the years of it. And so obviously guys look at and go, well, hey, maybe guys do go like guy like Nichols used it. Maybe that's the route I use. And so, you know, I'm trying to rescind that sort of idea too. It's like, yes, I probably misspoken and sounded stupid in the past, but like, I really like think that this is more of an opportunity for the Navy as a whole to go, okay, let's contextually look at this and why are so many guys feel the need to use it?
Well, you know what,
conversation.
You know what? That's a really good point because like you brought up, like Canseco saying 85% of, you know, Major League Baseball is using steroids. You know, it's a lot of rumor out there. And unfortunately, social media isn't helping, you know, with, you know, everybody who's 18 years old is hearing you'll never make it through buds unless you get on PEDs, you know, which Ridiculous. Is a flat out lie.
Stupid. You know? So dumb.
And the only people that are making those recommendations are, you know, liars or spreaders of rumors at best, cheaters and quitters.
You bet. Right? Because agreed.
Yeah, you know, but those are only people that are saying that's the only way you're going to survive it. And then they say
the anabolics aren't going to get you through buds. You, if you have the health and means, you're going to get through it. I see it as someone appropriating it in a way. It'll just make, they'll just recover faster and they can then in hindsight look at buds and go, it sucked, but I was able to heal better because of this. Like it's like, it would be like having the first phase manual of buds given to your, it's not going to help anyone.
No.
Like you get, it's the people that are going to make it are going to make it are going to make it, right? Yeah. Health or no health. And I think that what ends up happening is that's kind of where it ends up happening is like you get people use it, people begrudge it, people don't like it. And it's a rumors and nonsense. And it's like, okay, well, since this is such a chronic issue, like, and I'm using those words, like I see the reaction, the Navy and this, and I see it's chronic. We'll say it's chronic. Why don't we stop just throwing the baby out with the bathwater? When clearly the Navy has resources enough to reach into WADA and violate people's rights. You know, it's like, that's what's going on. They're testing people for something without baseline. That would never, ever, ever, ever work in any professional sport. That wouldn't work in Olympics. Like if someone said, hey, you tested me, but You're testing me. It's like testing an athlete in the middle of the Olympics for the first time. Like, think about that. Like, yeah, that's what's going on. And the other problem is this, is you have to really have a little compassion, understanding what these guys are enduring. Like, what is happening to their blood panels in that extremely high stress environment? Not just because it's hard. These guys are willing to go to this length to succeed in something that is so difficult. That's a lot of emotional stress on top of what they can't control. And so if you tested anybody in that high cortisol environment, you're going to see really wonky blood work. It really like goes, that doesn't make sense in the sport world, but that makes really good sense in the buds world. But see,
yeah,
there's no history of testing in the buds. So now all of a sudden they start testing and they're using that, which there's no history of evaluation.
Yeah, you know,
completely unethical.
Yeah, I agree. I personally don't have a problem with them testing people, but
me either.
The process has to have that kind of baseline. You know, whenever, you know, pre hell week, whenever they are getting pulled. Evidently, here's what's happening: they get a test, but it takes a couple weeks to get the answers. So they've started.
They have to send it to UCLA. Like, yeah. I know the process, man. It has to go to UCLA.
Yeah. And then they, you know, they don't get the word back until almost it's like the week before hell week. And then they get pulled from their class, having endured probably the hardest 3 weeks at Buds, you know, those first 3 weeks. That's where all the attrition is. And so they get pulled and now they just have to wait. And they have to take that test again, and it has to be lower in order to get back in the class.
Yep.
But
see, here's the other curve. Like the blood work I'm getting from guys, like one of the guys that got pulled, his blood work is below 250. His bound testosterone.
But the ratio was high.
Right, so because then you go like
epitestosterone.
Because the argument is this: yes, you were on it. Testosterone went way up because you're on it. Now you don't have it, so it obviously is going to find a trough, right? That's what happens. Because if you inject yourself with anabolic steroids, especially intramuscular, within the first 36 hours, your serum testosterone is going to be like 12 to 1500, which is super not sustainable. Like at 200 milligrams a dose, right? So you're going to get to 1600 nanograms per milliliter within a 36-hour window. But if you don't continue to inject yourself with that testosterone, that 1200 will go past normal and it'll drop into a trough. But then that trough, we guys are dropping into this trough because they came off of anabolic steroids 3 or 4 months ago before boot camp. The stress continues to go up. The food quality continues to go down at boot camp, right? You show up to Buds, sleep goes down, food quality goes up, right? But stress goes way up, which is a direct correlation to these markers that they're measuring. So
yeah, I'd like to see the TC ratio.
Yes.
You know, testosterone to cortisol ratio, yes, as well.
Right. Cause that's the thing, is you can't, yeah, just pull one thing and go, that's the problem. Because then you're only treating symptomatic issues. And here's the thing too. It's like, my problem is I actually personally know these people that are in charge, and not a single one of them is competent in this. Right? It's like, we have to admit, we have to realize, we've got to understand that rank isn't omnipotence and time and service is not omnipotence. I'm not a Navy SEAL, but we in that profession, we owe it to the younger generation to understand context, not just be like, well, I didn't have this. I didn't stop. Like, you're not making it better by demonizing that which, like, the master chief that was in charge of this has had 3 DUIs. No, fuck, nothing happened to him, right? Like, I could list on and on these human beings, right? Like, the person at Buds that unfortunately took his life a couple months ago was in charge of mental preparation, mindset, and all that stress mitigation. He offed himself in his garage, right? The DAPA, the Navy SEAL that was in charge of managing drug policy, whatever. And when I was at teams, popped positive for cocaine, ran off to Vegas, and then they finally found him. The police found him. So We can keep standing here and pretending that we have all of these answers, but we're not using our resources. All we're just pounding our chest and calling us Navy SEALs. It's silly.
Well, I will be honest with you. I don't know anything about this. You know, I've never used it, never seen it. Don't know anything about it. So, I mean, that's why I wanted to bring you on here, because I know you have, you know, experience not only as your, for yourself, but also as a trainer with, you know, professional athletes. Because I don't know enough about it to even really comment on it. And that's the problem. No one that if you've people are getting caught up in this that know nothing about this. They've never used it. And now they're there trying to figure out what do they do. And here's the problem with that. Everybody thinks they're using. Right. Yep. Just because they have a high, you know, TE ratio. And that's heartbreaking. Now, I will say this, if that scares people not to use anymore,
it should. That like
May be worth it. But unfortunately for the guys that are, you know, popping 4.5 to 1, you know, and never used anything before, maybe they have a regular testosterone, but low epitestosterone level, you know.
Right. But we would know that if they test them at boot camp.
Or just, yeah, exactly.
Or at MEPS. You know, why is that not part of, if it's a real concern for these candidates, MEPS is the best place for the Navy to not waste their time and money. Like, test them when it really, really is viable. Because by the time you test them in BUDS, you're way past, you're way past baseline time. It's so unethical. And the problem is like, there's no recourse for these people. There's none. There's no punishment for the people that are doing this silliness. They're on the anabolic side use. Really, it's like, they're going to leave the Navy. Like, what's the punishment? Like, oh, well, right. It's not going to do anything. But I look at it and I go, the real question is why do people really feel the need to do it? And I believe it's because they've not been educated within an organization that wants, that will punish them before they educate them. Why are we doing that? Because what are we telling our athletes that want to come in? Because you and I both know that we've had candid conversations with our athletes and say they're, and we know with a fact that some of them weren't using them and they popped positive. And so now like the athletes that showed up here this week for me, it's like, I had this conversation with them. It's like, man, like, don't use it. If you use in the past, man, like the spectrometry, the spectroscopy they can use and the gas, like they can go back 10, 15 years if they wanted to. So why are we doing this? Because what ended up happening fundamentally is like the people you train, the people I train, we're educating them. We're saying, go read, be aware of this, educate yourself, get knowledge base. And we're trying to protect them. And then they go in with this, with a better intellectual understanding of it. And then they somehow pop for it. And they're like, whoa. I spent the last 4 to 6 months with Stu and Jeff making sure I didn't do these things. And now here we are. And it's like, this could all be for naught if the Navy would do the right thing and test them at MEPS. Like, it's a simple solution. It really is.
You want to hear some horrible advice I had to give somebody?
Please.
It is something that I've never thought I would have to give, right? And the guy has like 4.5 to 1. And you know, I was like, here, you know, unfortunately, you got to get that ratio down if you want to get back into training. So what can you do? Right? You can eat soy products, eat more dairy, eat processed foods. Yeah, processed foods. In fact, train harder, less sleep,
less water.
In fact, I saw a study, very interesting study, and I'll put the link to it in this description. And it was a 1 week sleep deprivation, and it wasn't huge. It was like 4 hours a night. You know, that's still doable. 4 hours a night instead of your normal 7 hours a night. You had 4 hours a night of sleep, but you just crushed stuff. You know, you did stupid workouts and exhausted at the end of the day, and you're eating, let's see, you know, you add processed foods to that and soy protein and things like that, and it actually had a big reduction in your testosterone.
It'll
in one
drive
week.
Your cortisol. Anything that drives your cortisol up will directly mask this. So the real answer is go take a really strong diuretic, which is why the NFL, WADA, and all these, because they're not testing for diuretics, but that's the first thing that WADA and NFL tests because they're masking agents.
Right.
So
right.
Like that's the other side is they're like, we're going to test you for this. But it's really super easy to beat this if you take a diuretic.
That's so, horrible. Like I said, that's horrible advice.
It's terrible advice.
Horrible advice.
I'm not
to
advising
give
you
anyone.
To do that. I'm just saying this is the difference of context. The context of someone who understands this and someone who is basically knee-jerk reacting to appease some sort of person of rank or stature. It becomes this person that goes, I cleaned up naval special warfare. No, you didn't. Because this isn't the first time the Navy's had this chronic issue, right? How many times were guys tested in the teams? Like all the time, right? When soon as someone is, because it's the trend, they find one person that's abusing it, and then everyone else has to pay the man for it. I don't understand that sort of unethical behavior because the Navy isn't lacking resources. The Navy isn't lacking money. The Navy isn't lacking people to reach out to, professionals to understand this context, but they don't because it exposes their lie. Like that's the problem. If these leaders are going to be honest, it shows them to be buffoons. And that is what's happening at BUDS. The buffoons that are leading this charge are the ones that I see it this way. And this is, here's my conspiracy. I've said for years now, the fastest way that you undermine the quality of life in this country is you demonize the warrior class. Someone explained to me how this is not demonization of the top of the top of the top of our warrior class. I'm not okay with it. Let me be super clear. I'm super okay with testing. If the protocols set in place are ethical and the ones that set in place at BUDS are not ethical, and I will have this debate with anyone at BUDS, SQT, or within WARCOM, because I will make you sound like a buffoon.
A baseline is pretty simple. You know, if they just had a baseline with it, it would make a big difference.
Yep.
You know,
so
and,
do the right
know,
thing,
like,
man.
You know,
like,
if you had a hire at MEPS, you don't qualify to go to boot camp. That's
perfect.
Easy. You don't waste you any just, money. You don't waste anybody's time.
You bet, man. And it really creates a decision, right? It creates that, like we were saying, man, if you want to deter for the right reasons, and we should be testing because we need to keep these athletes safe. We have to, but you have to do the right thing by these men because these men will die for you. These men will die for this country. But the deal is the people making these decisions, I know personally, and they're not going to die for your decisions. It's silly, man. Like pure cowardice. And I'm not okay with it, man. I'm not. Because these are good human beings that are willing to sign up and serve for this country in the same way that you have. And it's not okay, man. It's not. Because, yes, Stu doesn't have history in it. I do. And that just shows context of our experiences and our decision making. It doesn't make me wrong or right, but we have to ask, why is this going on and why do we see this as a problem? And we have to educate these men so they don't hurt themselves and so they are good mentors and they're good leaders.
Yeah.
Man.
I mean, especially, I don't know anything about it. I have to educate myself on it, especially if I'm giving people advice on, you know, what they should do, you know, going into these type of tests that are kind of new to the process, you know. It's real easy just to say, hey, don't take them, right? And that's, there's no gray area to that. Don't take this stuff. Don't take supplements, right?
Why don't we test the BUDS instructors along with them? How about that? Right? Because we laugh.
But
we
it's
laugh,
a different,
but we know
it's a
reality.
Different animal. Yeah, it's a different animal.
I mean, because if it's not good for the goose, why is it good for the gander? Like, why? Like, We understand creating a safe training environment. And I agree, but this is not creating a safe training environment. This is creating an unethical one. So I get heated on this. Catherine's like, you want to talk about that? I'm like, well, Stu knows I'll get super fired up about this.
It's okay. All right. You know, I like your opinion. You know, I think it's very valuable. I think it's valid. And though at the same time, I understand testing. I hate the rumors that anybody in this generation thinks they need to use performance enhancing drugs to get through BUDS. It's just ridiculous. It's potentially dangerous. It's, you know, not only dangerous, it can kill you. You know, and I think this is a major part of the reaction to recent death that occurred at, post Hell Week.
Yep.
Here's the thing, and this is my opinion.
That death that's been associated to anabolic steroids is a complete farce. It's an absolute farce for what's really going on, what was really going on with an individual. And I get it. In the same way that the NFL is this pristine, don't take steroids, nobody smokes weed. Oh, come on, man. Like it's so not true to the point where it's actually mandated, right? Which is why they choose their testing date, right? So we go, if that's the reality, right, that's their own context and they're going to protect it. The reality is like, it shouldn't be carte blanche. But we have to actually have some compassion, understand that these men, we know that will put themselves out there more than any professional athlete, year in and year out. You know, as in the pro sports, as people's performance decline, they go away. As people's performance decline, then BUDS or whatever else, they got to find a way to keep their livelihood. And until you educate them on how to really properly sleep, how to really manage a diet, and then enforce proper sleeping instead of just saying you should sleep more. Instead of saying you should eat better, they should have a cafeteria that actually does performance-oriented training and eating. But until you actually educate, right? And I go, well, that's not the place for BUDS. It's like, wait.
Where is it?
Where else are you going to learn to shoot a gun better? Where else? More safe. Skydiving. Breaching. The list goes on and on of the necessity to understand the minutia and the finite minutia of those skills. Why are we not understanding how to sleep better and how to eat better? And it's real simple. Because it exposes their lies. There isn't anyone in position that understands better sleeping and eating that's actually enforcing proper eating and sleeping protocols, right? Because every 2 years, a new leader comes in with a new idea of what's valuable instead of continuing on with this. It's just, I've been down this road so many times, and it's like, there's an idea, goes away. An idea, goes away. Knee-jerk reaction.
Dang, that's a dog.
Yeah.
Is that a horse?
July.
Let's see that big fella.
Oh, he's come here, buddy. Yeah. there's a great
wow.
Guy right there. Yeah,
there he is.
The guys are starting to show up for training day, and he's like, he gets excited. So I'm gonna just really quickly open the door. Come here.
Yeah.
Go. All right, we're back. So, and I keep venting and in that, but I think that I've made a point, or my point, and my hope is because of all the resources and all the really good people, and it's the few that's ruining it for the many on the leadership side and the consumer side. We just have to come together with the conversation and do better. Because these guys deserve it, right?
Yeah.
You know, we could say the Yankees deserve it, but they're getting paid to do it really well. I've never met a population, and you too, I can agree that like these guys 100%. Deserve the most honest opinion and knowledge, even if it's like breaks their heart and go, hey man, you've been abusing, you got to go. And that's the rule. And everyone's playing by that, but that's not what the reality is. So it's just, hopefully, I don't know. My heart breaks for these guys because I understand it.
My heart does not break for the guys that are using.
No,
you know,
no.
I'm like, stop. right? Don't even.
Everyone
don't even
knows better at this point.
Yeah. And then, you know, but, you know, there's, it's not 100% perfect test, right? And there are people with either high testosterone or low epitestosterone that makes that ratio not work for them in this 4-to-1 ratio setting. So those are the guys that I'm really, you know, that are caught up in this. Now, another option is, you know, can you get a baseline prior to doing it? If MEPS is not doing it, you know, can you get the Navy to do it? You know, the guys at the Naval Academy are all getting their, you know, tests now, but they had to do it individually, right? Yeah. They went in and got it and are getting it through the, you know, the Navy medical, but they had to say, hey, I got to get this test done before I go out to Buds. And that, you know, and then they say, okay,
they throw it in there.
Yeah. They get it in there and get it done. But
too bad. Cause if the Navy will say, we'll just blanket the Navy. If people making decisions within this actually cared about what was right, they would recognize very simply that, like, unless you're a medical doctor with a real background in pathology, you need to go, wait a minute, I don't understand testosterone, how this thing works. Let's get somebody that does.
Absolutely.
And that isn't happening. It's not happening.
Absolutely.
There's no master chief. There's no admiral. There's no captain. There's no colonel. There's no first class petty officer. There's no warrant officer in the United States Navy that has this background and understanding. Outside of maybe in the, like, the pure, obviously in the hospital setting.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about
that. Yeah. I would think human, you know, there'd be people in the human performance side that would understand
it. Right. And so there, I would be willing to bet that they're probably have the same gripes we do about the test, about where's the baseline, where's the ethical nature of this. I'm not against the testing. I'm all for it. It needs to be fair and ethical, and it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. I would definitely like to know before I join the Navy, if I qualify to go to Buds.
Yep.
Right.
And I mean, you just can retest. Of course they should retest it. I'm not saying you test it. You know, you create that one test. You never worry about it. No. You educate. You're saying, we're going to take you this test on this day, and then you will be tested sometime during Buds. And then you're going to be tested at the end of Buds. And then maybe you get tested some point during SQT. Once you're out of that student stat, whatever, like, someone make a decision, but keep it consistent.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think we agree on that for sure. For sure. I'm just, like I said, I wanted to bring this up as a show so people can blame me for calling Jeff and saying, hey, Jeff, let's talk about this, because I don't know anything about it and I need to do more research on it. So what I have added to this conversation is just what I went online and looked at some studies, and you know, there's a lot of grievances out there on the 4-to-1 ratio in the sports world. You know, it's not just spec war and me saying this isn't, you know, accurate.
So the question is why does WADA use the 4-to-1? That is context. And when you understand that context, the context then shows testing protocol. That context has to fit protocol, because protocol can't be a nimbly bimbly whatever, because now then the test is invalid because there's no reliable consistency prior. Like, this is science 101, right? Like, we're following zero ethical scientific principles here. We're just following some admiral or some master chief's ego. That is it.
Hmm. Hey, tell me this. You know, if an average human male is a 1-to-1 ratio, why is 4-to-1 like an issue?
Right. It's saying because you have an indicator of coming off of it. That's like a bigger, here's the truth, folks. How is it that UFC and Major League Baseball and NFL get around this? Because as soon as they sign their contract, their agents or people like me will set them down and go, hey, we need to establish a testosterone protocol for baseline. So we begin administering micro doses of our athletes before they sign that contract. We pull blood every 4 hours from these guys to see what their serum testosterone, where it balances out. We do that as long as it takes to find norm. And then we establish norm, right, through injection, right?
Huh.
And then they take the blood test and they show up a 1-to-1. Oh, they're high. They're high norm. They're 700 nanograms per milliliter, high norm. Awesome. That's your baseline. And so then they keep taking blood to make sure they're within the serum limit, pre-fight, pre-whatever. The protocol continues on for the rest of their career to continue. So like, if you look at the UFC and NFL, if you ever get a handle on it, why is it that the athlete's serum testosterone as they age doesn't go down? Why? Because they and I have established the protocol.
Right.
That is how pro athletes are able to do what they do. Not all of them, but especially the aging ones. And so like the problem ends up being if you new to it, like for example, Andrei Arlovsky, right? Was I've dealt with him for 5 fights. He wasn't using for a long time, right? Because of the testing protocols got so strict, right? And so you see a guy that continued to fight because he had to switch from an anabolic nature to focus on sleeping and eating to maintain longevity. He's 42. He's got the most wins and the most fights in history of the UFC. How does someone do that? Right? So that's WADA, right? You got to look at context, and it's just so unethical what's going on. It just grinds my gears.
Yeah, I tell you what, everything you just said is like, I don't understand any of it. You know what I mean?
I didn't for a long time either, until I started getting testing and started getting questions and all this stuff. I'm like, wait a minute, this is silly. And then I got involved in the Olympic world and the pro world. I'm like, oh, that's how they do it. That's how you can tear an Achilles and 8 months later break a world record. Oh, how does that happen? How do you recover from Tommy John in half the time? I don't know. Like fasting? Well, come on, man. Like, let's be, we're not saying that we all should use it. I'm not, but the things that we love and revere, we'll ignore some stuff if we can be the super fan. You know, it's weird. So weird.
Hey, man, I won't lie to you. I want to see a 400-pound dude run a 4:5:40.
I say we do all anabolic Olympics one of these years, and we just like straight from Saturday Night Live, you know, or the Russian lifter pulls his arms off.
That was a good one. That was a good one.
Anyway, so I'm gonna step away from my soapbox today, Stu. And
I thank you
for having me on here to vent.
No, thank you for educating me on this, you know, because I really don't know anything about the whole process. I am still learning, and I would advise anybody who's listening that has never used these things, don't know anything about it.
Don't do it, man. Educate yourself.
One, don't do it. Two, learn about what this is. Get yourself tested. Find your own baseline. You know, and if there's things that you have to do naturally to get your testosterone down, there are things that you can do.
Yeah.
But
do not email me about how to defeat this test.
Yeah. I'm not.
Even if I know how to, we better be really close for me to give you that information. So don't email me about it. Right. Yeah. And this thing is like, it's just unfortunate that we're here having this conversation.
Hey, you know what? Get your baseline figured out. And if it's high, you can Google it. You know, I just went online and said, oh, eat mint, soy, processed foods.
Stop sleeping.
You know, it had a laundry list of things to reduce your testosterone naturally, And unfortunately, like I said, it's the worst advice I've ever given.
Terrible.
You know, somebody who's, you know, going in this world.
Follow the World Health Organization's protocols for eating. Follow them. And your estradiol go through the roof. Listen to everything the World Health Organization
tells you. Do the food pyramid.
Yeah, follow that nonsense. You know, consider tofu and the fake meat is like serious. Like,
that's a good idea. Eat vegan.
Eat vegan. Do a lot of fasting. Do all that sort of stuff. Ugh. Yeah, do a lot of cold. Oh, if you could time it just right, put yourself in water. Put yourself in an ice bath. It's the worst thing you can do for yourself. for cortisol. It'll drive your cortisol through the fucking roof. But I don't know how really long it's going to stay, but that's why I laugh at anyone put themselves in an ice bath is going straight cortisol, man.
Yeah. So you're stressing yourself out pretty good.
Yep. There you go.
All right, man. Well, this was fun. I'm sure we pissed somebody off, but
I'm sure I did.
But that's all right. It's all right. That's
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I know who I am now. So we're good.
All right, Jeff. Hey, man, I appreciate your time. Anybody looking at what Jeff does, performancefirstus.com. You can find me at stusmithfitness.com. And don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs. And
optimize your body. It'll handle it.
Learn how to do this. Learn what this is all about. If you got to take a test, learn what the test is.
Amen.
Study it. All right. Hey, man. Thanks a lot. Have a good
one. Thank you, Stu.
Yep. Oop. Hang on a second. I screwed that up.